This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, November 14, 2017. Paul Layton writes in today's Salem News, after putting off the issue for a couple of years, Essex Technical High School is finally about to tackle the existential question of what the school should really be named. A school committee subcommittee formed specifically for that purpose is scheduled to meet Wednesday night to tackle the dilemma, which has drawn the attention of state legislators. The issue revolves around whether the word agricultural should be included in the school's name. State lawmakers thought they had answered the question when they named it Essex North Shore Agricultural and Technical High School in the legislation that created the school. The name took into consideration the school's origins as a merger between North Shore Technical High School, the Essex Agricultural and Technical Institute, and the vocational programs at Peabody High School. But some people, including former Governor Deval Patrick, said the name was a mouthful. When Patrick visited the future site of the school in 2011, he turned to local officials and, smiling, said, "You're going to find a new name for this." The regional school board voted in 2012 to shorten the name to Essex Technical High School. The school opened in 2014 on the grounds of the former Essex Aggie and has been operating under that name ever since. But the Essex Agricultural Society, which runs the Topsfield Fair, has been advocating for the word agricultural to be included in the school's name. More in the story written by Paul Layton in today's Salem News. Bill Newell takes a look at the field of candidates to replace State Senator Thomas McGee, who is the new mayor-elect of Lynn.
Rick, Thomas Grillo writes in today's Daily Item of Lynn, fresh off his re-election to the Lynn City Council, Hong Nett is looking for another electoral fight. Nett said that he'll run for Representative Brendan Crichton's House seat should the Lynn Democrat win his bid for Mayor-elect Tom McGee's state Senate seat. Quote, "I want to do something at the state level, and I would like to pick up where Brendan left," he said. "In addition, I will bring new ideas to the state house." Now, if Crichton succeeds McGee, it will open up the 11th Essex District House seat, which includes West Lynn and Nahant. Nett placed third after Brian LaPierre and Buzzy Barton for one of the four at-large councilor-at-large seats in Lynn last week. Ward 6 City Councilor Peter Capano and Lynn Museum Lynn Arts Executive Director Drew Russo have also said they plan to run if Crichton moves up. Donald Castle, a founding member of Protect Our Reservoir, Preserve Pine Grove, said that he's considering a run. "I'm planning to put a committee together to see what they think," he said. "It's a great opportunity, and people have called to ask me if I would run." Castle organized the no vote on two ballot questions in March that would have authorized $188 million to build two new middle schools in Lynn. Second school committee member Donna Coppola, who topped the ticket on the school committee race and received more votes than any city council candidate, said that she will not run. "My plate is full," she said. "I'm not running." On the Senate seat, about to be vacated by McGee, it appears there's a clear path for Crichton. City Councilor-at-Large Brian LaPierre said that he thought about making a run over the weekend but decided not to. "I'm hyper-focused on Lynn and what I can do as a city councilor in 2018," he said. "I'm planning to work with Mayor-elect McGee, Council President Darren Sear, and continue the good work that we've been doing." The third Essex Senate seat includes Lynn, Lynnfield, Marblehead, Nahant, Saugus, and Swampscott. On the Republican side, it's unclear if anyone will emerge to take on Crichton. State Representative Donald Wong of Saugus says that he's not interested in the Senate seat, but declined to endorse anyone. There's more on this story in today's edition of the Daily Item of Lynn. For North Shore Today, MSO News Sports, I'm Bill Newell. Rick?
All righty, Bill. Thank you, sir. Julie Manganis writes in today's Salem News, some area police officers say they were concerned by Governor Charlie Baker's suggestion last week that it's not that unusual for details to be edited out of police reports. Beverly Police Lieutenant Michael Sungi, the department's police prosecutor, is quoted as saying, "Everything gets included." Baker made the comment Friday morning while responding to questions about the handling of a police report following the arrest last month of a Worcester County judge's daughter on drunken driving charges. Two state police troopers have filed suit alleging they were illegally ordered by superiors to remove statements made by the young woman, including references to her father's position, obtaining drugs through sex, and offering sexual acts in exchange for leniency. Baker has asked for an investigation into how the situation was handled, as the superintendent of the state police, Colonel Richard McKeon, submitted a letter of resignation in the wake of the allegations. More on this story written by Julie Manganis in today's Salem News. Ariana McNeil writes in today's Salem News, Harmonic Drive LLC, which has manufactured gears for projects that are literally out of this world, is eyeing a big move to Beverly in what would be a homecoming of sorts for the company. Harmonic Drive has been based in Peabody for a number of years, but the company got its start more than 60 years ago as a division of United Shoe in Beverly, the site of what is now the Cummings Center. The gear systems the company makes are used in a variety of products. Company President and CEO Doug Olson is quoted as saying primarily it's for the medical industry. That includes diagnostic and therapeutic equipment for robots used in surgery, but Harmonic Drive gears have also been launched into space. More in the story written by Ariana McNeil in today's Salem News. Gail Acali writes in itemlive.com, voters at Monday night's special town meeting surprisingly chose not to approve an article on the warrant that would have allowed the town to directly set 20-mile-an-hour safety zones without state approval and review. With the eighth and final article on the brief town meeting warrant, members were asked to vote to accept the provisions of Massachusetts General Law Chapter 90, Section 18B, allowing the Board of Selectmen to establish safety zones with a speed limit of 20 miles an hour. The motion to approve the article made by Laura Spethanis, vice chair of the Board of Selectmen, was defeated 111-84 after a standing vote. Town Administrator Sean Fitzgerald previously said that the safety zones would have been where there is the most pedestrian traffic, with the change aimed at pedestrian safety. He said the requested change related to a town meeting warrant article approved this past spring that established a town speed limit of 25 miles an hour. More on this story on itemlive.com, story written by Gayla Colley. Roy Lamont writes in today's Gloucester Times, Gloucester residential taxpayers and business owners may see a reduction in their property tax rates under a proposal going before the city council on Tuesday night. But a rise in property assessment values may mean their bills will be no lower. The tax proposal, endorsed by the Budget and Finance Subcommittee of Council President Joe Schellino, Joseph Orlando Jr., and Subcommittee Chairman Scott Memhard, calls for charging all city property owners at a rate of $12.97 per $1,000 evaluation for the current 2018 fiscal year. It would eliminate a tax classification that has been charging businesses at a higher level than residents since 2006. Much more in this story by Ray Lamont in today's Gloucester Times. This is North Shore Today on MSO News Sports.